Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. We know that God's Word contains many warnings. Warnings that should be heeded because they have to do with our spiritual welfare, ultimately our eternal destiny. So those warnings are very serious. They're not to be taken lightly. They're not to be neglected. The warning that we are looking at today is a warning against the sin of presumption. It is a warning that is addressed to believers. For if you will, look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. We just read verse 12. But now let's look at verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren. And so in chapter 10 of verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, he specifically addresses the brethren. Skipping down to verse 12, which is our text. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Then in 1 Corinthians 10:14 we have, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. So we see that in the first verse, the word brethren, we see in verse 14, my beloved, showing us that the warning is addressed to believers. Now, those who hold to Reform truth and doctrine definitely and resolutely believe in the preservation of the saints. Listen to the words of our confession. Those whom God hath accepted in the beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, and given the precious faith of his elect unto, can neither totally nor finally fall from the state of grace. It's a clear statement of our doctrinal beliefs that the saints, the true saints of God, will be preserved. However, our confidence in that truth should never be the cause of our becoming careless in the necessity of persevering. Persevering is also taught in the Scriptures. This is a confession. Again, the words of our confession. Those whom God hath accepted and beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, and given the precious faith of his elect unto, can neither totally nor finally fall from the state of grace, but. What follows the word but? Shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. Two words, preservation, perseverance. We've dealt with them in recent days. In great measure, the perseverance of the saints depends upon their taking seriously those warnings which are set forth in the Word of God. They are signposts. They are danger signs. It's like driving down the highway and suddenly you come to a barricade that says, bridge is washed out. It's a warning for your good, to keep you from driving on, going around the barrier sign, and ultimately driving off into the river. The same apostle who wrote the words of our text expressed great confidence in God's power to preserve his people. You don't need to turn there, but in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That is a full assurance and confidence of God's keeping power, of God's preserving us. But it's the same apostle who wrote the words of our text. Obviously, the apostle understood and applied both truths to his life. Now, I want us to consider our text under these three headings. Here are the headings. The man who has a propensity for this sin of presumption. Who is he? Who is that person that has a tendency to presume on his safety? Second heading, the imminent dangers of this sin. How dangerous is it? What are the dangers? The dangers of the sin of presumption. Thirdly, some specific counsel. So then our first heading, the man who has a propensity for the sin of presumption. First of all, we need to define what we mean by presumption. Presumption is defined in the dictionary as this: to take for granted, assume, or suppose. To assume as true in the absence of proof to the contrary. Or, I underscore this in your hearing, to undertake with unwarrantable boldness. Let me repeat that. To undertake with unwarrantable boldness. Now, just in life itself, do we not meet people who are characterized by presumption? For instance, what about the financial and the business world? In the world of stocks and bonds and investments, would you ever meet up with anybody in that area that is presumptuous? Oh, yes. Perhaps they are successful for a while in some endeavor and they gain confidence. And suddenly, they become very daring in financial matters. Why? They have allowed themselves a false sense of confidence and presumption. Presuming that all has gone well, everything is going to continue to go well. I'm going to really make some investments here and make money. They presume that all things will be as the same. There are those who are not only presumptuous about financial matters, there are those who are presumptuous about their health. They somehow believe that I'm going to live here forever. Other people may die, but I'm here forever. They wouldn't say it, but consciously, subconsciously, it enters into their thinking that they are immortal. And so what happens? They have a tendency to neglect those things which are physically beneficial. And they presume they're getting away with it. They no longer exercise. They no longer watch their diet, etc. And nothing happened, and nothing's happening until the day of reckoning comes. Sudden heart attack, stroke, cancer, you name it. Well, there are those who are presumptuous in the field of finances, those who are presumptuous in the field of their health. There are those who are presumptuous in the matter of temptation. They think that they will never, never, never succumb to the grip of various vices, even though they play around with it. Yeah, there are those who get hooked. They're dumb. I'm smart. Won't happen. When I was working with the young people in the Mexican Gospel Mission, I don't know if Robert would remember our doing this. I got a film from the police department to show to our youth. And the title of the film was Dead is Dead. And it was gross. I mean, very gross. It showed scenes of people overdose, throwing up, passing out. I mean, the scenes, so that was so gross that sometimes, I remember a couple of the girls had to get up and leave. They couldn't watch it. Shocking. So next year, I called the police department and said, I'd like to have you come back out and show that film. He said, we don't do it anymore. I said, why not? He said, because it doesn't work. I said, what do you mean it doesn't work? He said, because kids, when they view that, sitting out there watching it, the thought comes to them, those stupid guys, they got hooked. I'm smart. That'll never happen to me. Presumption. Presumption. Now, our text does not have to do with men in general. Our text is addressed to Christians. Brethren, if Christians were not subject to this sin of presumption, then the apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would not have given this warning. It's a reality. These are the words of inspired Scripture. Now, I want us to consider such persons. We must also consider the things which incline the heart to become presumptuous, especially in spiritual matters. And this may surprise you. The first heading I have is this: prosperity. Prosperity. We're dealing with what might incline the heart to become presumptuous. Prosperity. When all is going well, the human heart has a strong tendency to think that things will always go well. Not just my finances, but everything else, including my spiritual life. It's a tendency that bleeds into the other areas of life to think, well, man, the bills are paid and I've got some investments and savings and new car. And that tends to bleed over into other areas of life. And it can cause a carelessness to develop regarding spiritual issues. Subconsciously. Listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Moab has been at ease since his youth. He has also been undisturbed on his leaves. Neither has he been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, he retains his flavor, and his aroma has not changed. In other words, there's nothing really disturbing going on in his life. So you develop an attitude of carelessness. Complacency in one area quickly leads to complacency in other areas. And complacency results in presumption. Now, here's a statement I want to make before we move on to the next point. Never, never mistake God's blessing for God's approval. Did you get that? Think about it. Never mistake God's blessing for God's approval. Because God may bless you, but that is not 100% an indication that he approves of everything that's going on in your life. God generally blesses. There's common grace still available. What is that common grace? Well, for example, it rains on the just and on the unjust. Right? Is that a blessing? Does God approve of the unjust? No, he doesn't. Does he allow it to rain on his property? Yes. That's God's blessing, but that's not God's approval. And so God may bless us with good health. Just, he doesn't automatically withdraw health and finances and everything else the minute we sin. He continues to bless in his goodness. But we must guard against assuming, God's blessing me, so it's okay. It doesn't mean it's okay. Second heading. Another thing that brings about sinful presumption is having slight thoughts of sin. Do you remember how it was the first days of your conversion? Do you remember how tender your conscience was over, quote, so-called little sins? Even a, quote, little white lie bothered you? But what happens? You see, new converts have a holy timidity, a godly fear, lest they should offend God. But that doesn't always last. And every Christian has the capacity by degrees to grow calloused. And the sin that once startled him does not alarm him any longer. And we're going to be dealing with an aspect of this in the morning sermon. Our regular exposition of Thessalonians brings us to the passage where Paul tells them, flee fornication. And I'll repeat it in the sermon, but I want to emphasize it here because it goes with this point. That is, we live in a society to which we are exposed time and time and time again, if we're not careful and don't take precaution, to things that gradually wear away and cause us to be less sensitive to this or to that sin. It's just like, well. And the minute we become less sensitive, we are in danger of becoming presumptuous, of presuming it won't affect me. It won't bother me. We cease to be aware. we cease to be aware that even the so-called least sin has as its goal the murder of your soul and the annihilation of God. Serious. Third reason why men become presumptuous is that they not only have slight thoughts of sin, they have low thoughts of the value of true religion. And there is this general tendency in the world in which we live that it's possible to become too religious. Too religious. And then secretly that thought enters, but I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. You ever have that thought? Sure. You see, the problem is not so much with becoming too zealous about the things of God, but rather a lack of zeal and fervor for the cause of Christ. Listen to the words of Paul writing to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession. Not afraid of, not timid of, but zealous for good works. Can we think and allow ourselves to think that we are doing too much to serve God in our generation? Let's think of it this way. How much is the soul of that other person worth? He has a never dying soul. What risk would you actually go to if a person was in physical danger? Maybe a car wrecks and rolls over and he's trapped. Maybe a house catches on fire and you happen to see it and nobody else is around and people are probably in that house. To what degree would you go to help physically save the life of a child? Would you be afraid of being too zealous? That man's nuts. No. What about the soul? What about the soul? The never dying soul. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? When we have a low view of the soul, a low view of religion follows. And a low view of religion leads quickly to the sinful presumption about spiritual matters. We can become very complacent so quickly. So quickly. Fourth point. Presumption about the Christian life also results from failing to deal with the reality of the presence and the power of our own remaining sin. It is true initially at conversion that we are made aware of the awfulness of sin. We are made aware of our desperate need of Christ, which caused us to flee to him. However, as we progress in our Christian life, and perhaps progress is not the best term. By that I mean as we move along, we are made more and more aware of the presence and power of our remaining sin. And rather than take it lightly, it ought to cause us to flee to Christ. Paul knew what it was to deal with remaining sin. And he came to the conclusion of, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now, the life of the true child of God is to be characterized by progressive sanctification. Progressive. Making progress. Progressive sanctification means more and more mortifying sin and more being conformed to the image of Christ. And if we take lightly the mortification of sin, if we take lightly being more and more conformed to the revealed will of God, we have fallen into the trap of presumption. And what will that presumption lead to? Take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. See the presumption? Last of all, pride is one of the causes of presumption. Pride has various expressions, but at the root of the sin of pride is presumption. It would be pride for one to boast about his talents and his abilities. But it can lead even to presumption. Let me give you an illustration. Let us say that God blesses a man with the ability to learn and apply spiritual truths. He may even have the ability to stand before others and expound those truths. Very easily, he could be tempted to think within himself, "I'm not so likely to fall as others who are not so endowed with a discerning mind." Do you see the subtlety of that? That can very easily creep in. You see, there's great danger in constantly handling spiritual truth. The danger of preparing to minister to others without it ministering to your own heart. You are trading in spiritual truth. You're expected to prepare a sermon and to preach it. Is it ever preached to your own heart in the process? You see, that's presumption, isn't it? That's saying, "You guys need it. I don't need it." You think a person would ever say that? Probably not. Do you think they would ever think that? Very subtly they might. That's pride. There are those who pride themselves in the measure of grace that they have experienced. Others secretly imagine that their love is more fervent than the average person. There are those who feel that somehow they have arrived at a level of spiritual maturity in the various graces, Christian graces. And it leads to thinking, "I will not fall because of my privileges." I've lived long enough and I've been in the ministry long enough to know of men who were pastors who tragically fell into the sin of adultery. Churches devastated and ruined, the cause of Christ tarnished. Somewhere, the sin of presumption entered in. Presuming it will never happen to me. And what happens is you let down your guard. You become careless, if not indifferent. What are the imminent dangers? This is our second major heading. Again, let me share with you the words of our confession. And though they may, and that is those who have fallen, the true child of God can never finally fall away, but listen to these words. And though they may, through the temptation of Satan and of the world, the prevalence of corruption remaining in them and the neglect of means of their preservation, fall into grievous sins and for a time continue therein, whereby they incur God's displeasure and grieve his Holy Spirit, come to have their graces and comforts impaired, have their hearts hardened and their consciences wounded, hurt and scandalize others, and bring temporal judgments on themselves, yet shall they renew their repentance and be preserved through faith in Christ Jesus unto the end. What are some of the dangers? We listed them. God's displeasure, grieving the Holy Spirit, having the graces and comforts impaired, having their hearts hardened, their conscience wounded, hurting and scandalizing others. Those are real dangers. And if we don't think so, it's only an evidence that we have been deceived and presumptuous. Now let me list some peculiar areas of danger. Those who are presumptuous are subject to becoming careless or to becoming less watchful during the times of temptation. We must take seriously the words of our Lord, keep watching and praying that you enter not into temptation. Man, how I wish we had opportunity and time to open up that whole section of John Owen that he deals with what it means to enter into temptation. That's awesome, the way he deals with that. Keep watching and praying. The child of God cannot afford to become careless in the area of watchfulness, not for a minute. At any time, the Christian is subject to the attack of that threefold enemy of his soul, the world, Satan, and his own remaining sin. I will quote John Owen here. We must be about the business of killing sin, or it will be about the business of killing us. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? We should be more watchful over temptation and sin than we would a 6-foot rattlesnake coiled over here in the corner. Would you be watchful? All that rattlesnake can do is kill you physically. All that sin that you may be tolerating a little bit here can do is to go between you and God. If you're a true believer, it cannot take away your salvation, but it can hinder your walk with God. You can end up tragically scandalizing others. Well, the Apostle James assumes that we'll be tempted, does he not? He doesn't say, But when you are tempted, he says, but each one is tempted. No exceptions. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lusts. John Calvin said, with a nature so corrupted as ours is, amid so many allurements, and with minds so fickle, we are in the greatest danger of being led astray. Now, suppose, I hope you can imagine this, we don't live in days when there's still that many around, but an old boiler furnace, it's burning oil and getting hot to heat the house. Wouldn't it be presumptuous to pile some oily rags right next to the furnace? It's pretty presumptuous, isn't it? So that's how careful in our own walk with God we need to be, watching against temptation. Because if you put oily rags against a hot furnace, you're going to have a fire. And it's presumptuous to think otherwise. And so in our walk with God, let's not do those things that are putting oily rags next to a hot furnace. John Owen, again, listen carefully. He that willfully or negligently enters into temptation has no reason in the world to promise himself any assistance from God or any deliverance from the temptation wherein he is entered. The self-confident man is in danger of falling because he will even run into temptation in the confidence that he is strong and able to make his escape. The third heading, some dangers. The presumptuous man often fails to be diligent about the use of the means of grace. Such persons think they, well, you know, I can skip this, I can skip my devotions, I can skip church. Becoming careless about the means of grace. The Lord's table is a means of grace. We need all the grace we can get. There's a fourth danger. Those who are presumptuous, they become prideful. By the way, the Holy Spirit is grieved by pride. James tells us God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One commentator says, he who walks with fear and trembling, fearing lest he should go astray, that man the Spirit loves. But when once pride creeps in, and the man declares, now I'm no longer in danger, away goes the dove. It flies to heaven and will have nothing to do with him. Well, now we come to our final heading, some specific counsel. First word of counsel is this: take heed, because many, many in the past have fallen into the sin of presumption. Not a few, many. Many casualties. Many who have made shipwreck of their faith. Many who began well, but didn't finish well. Somewhere along the way, they allowed themselves to become presumptuous, maybe about the world, presumptuous perhaps maybe even about Satan or presumptuous about their own remaining sin, or about all three. And recently we've had opportunity to quote from a character in Pilgrim's Progress who finds himself in an iron cage. An interpreter shows Christian, this man, in the iron cage. And I'm quoting now from Pilgrim's Progress. Hope you've read it. Now the man to look on seemed very sad. He sat with his eyes looking down to the ground, his hands folded together, and he sighed as if he would break his heart. Then said Christian, "What means this?" At which the interpreter bid him, "Talk with the man." So Christian says, What wast thou once? What did you used to be?" And the man replies, "I was once a fair and flourishing professor, both in my own eyes and in the eyes of others. I once was, as I thought, fair for the celestial city, and had then even joy at the thoughts that I would get thither." And so Christian says to him, "But what art you now?" And the man replies, "I am now a man of despair, and I'm shut up in it, as in this iron cage. I cannot get out. Oh, now I cannot." Then Christian says, "But how did you get into that condition?" And the man says, "I left off to watch and be sober. I laid the reins upon the neck of my lusts. I sinned against the light of the word and the goodness of God. I have grieved the Holy Spirit and he is gone. I have tempted the devil and he has come. I have provoked God to anger and he has left me. I have so hardened my heart that I cannot repent." How did you get there? "I left off to watch and to be sober." I close with Pilgrim's Progress picture. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would take the warnings of your word seriously. And as we have dealt specifically with this one, we pray, Father, that we might take heed, lest we fall. Help us to know what it is to watch and to pray, that we enter not into temptation. Help us to take seriously the words, "Flee fornication." Bless us, we will seek to deal with that issue in the next service. We pray and ask it in Christ's name. Amen.